Would you please join me for a reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 7, and Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 7, and Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. Hear the word of the Lord. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
All right, Edwin, another sermon to be delivered in front of all these people. Is this really what they need to hear? What if it's irrelevant and they can't relate? I put in so much work, but I never feel ready and I'm nervous. Did I prepare enough? What if I didn't prepare enough? Okay, God, I know you're with me and we're going to do this together. Oh, Edwin, don't kid yourself. You are not good enough or wise enough to lead and pastor these people. Why would they listen to you? All that work and time you put in doesn't matter, and it's not making a difference. There's so many other people that do things better than you. All right, Edwin, get it together. Stop spiraling and being so insecure. Edwin, smile. Look up. You're on. You can do it. God is with you. Do you ever have that kind of inner dialogue in your mind where you find daily that there is this constant battle between thoughts of faith and then thoughts of fear and worry? Where you try to hype yourself up and then with the same breath you're talking yourself down? Where you know what people have said that encouraged you, but somehow you keep remembering and focusing on the things that people have said that discouraged you? Where you know and want to do what is right, but yet you believe what is wrong and end up doing what is wrong. Where there is what God says, and then there is the reality of your situation that feels more real than what God says. Thoughts of things I know I should do and should say, and thoughts where I just want to give it to that person for messing with my day. Thoughts where you know you need to surrender, admit you are wrong, and ask for help. And thoughts where you just want to hold on to your pride, your anger, and your control. Or the thoughts where you know you are loved by God, but there are things that you do or say that make you think that there is no way God can ever love you. And then when it comes to your relationship with others, there are thoughts where you want to be vulnerable and transparent with the people around you, but then you battle thoughts to protect yourself and to maintain the appearance that all is well so you don't get hurt. Maybe you can identify with this struggle and battle that happens in our minds. We look put together on the outside with fake smiles on our faces for people to see, but internally there is a war of all sorts of thoughts going on in our minds. And this war that happens can bring worry, anxiety, and fear. It can make us look down on ourselves and cripple us. It can prevent depth of relationships because we are unsure of ourselves and even of others. And it can even stifle our own relationship with God and what He would like to do in our lives because there's a battle to believe and live out what He says. Then we become trapped by our thoughts, as we are stuck in chronic negativity and unhealthy thinking. You know, fortunately for us, we're not the only ones to struggle with this. This is why the question that we want to ask ourselves daily is this: do we like where our thoughts are taking us? And if the answer is no, then I encourage you to listen in, because God has a lot to say about the battle that happens in our mind and the steps we can take to win that battle every day. Today we're kicking off with our brand new sermon series called Winning the War in Your Mind. Change your thinking, change your life. Inspired by the book by Pastor Craig Rochelle. Because we all have unhealthy thought patterns of self-doubt and negative thinking that affect us, our outlook on life, how we treat people, and even how we view God. And why is this important to address? Well, because our thoughts are powerful. They can change our perspective, they can impact our decisions and influence our habits. Our thoughts can make or break us. And so over the next 4 weeks, we want to be able to give you some practical strategies based on scripture and modern science that can free you from the grip of destructive thinking. Because we believe that when you can change your thinking, God can change your life. Because think about it. How we think matters. And how we think will determine the kind of life and even the quality of life that we have. It will determine how much peace we have or how much worry we have, whether we are content or not. It will determine whether we believe in what God says or not. It will determine whether we can do it or not. Pastor Craig Rochelle says that our lives do follow the direction of our greatest thoughts. Because our thoughts shape our lives and even the trajectory of our lives. In fact, the field of psychology has developed what is known as cognitive behavior therapy, CBT, which is one of the tools that can help people to identify and even change the destructive and negative thought patterns that influence their thoughts, their feelings, and their behaviors. This kind of therapy has revealed that many of the problems that people face, like eating disorders, addictions, some forms of depression and anxiety, are linked to faulty and chronic negative patterns of thinking. Faulty thinking is where our thought patterns do not match up with reality. A few examples of faulty thinking include all or nothing thinking, jumping to conclusions, overgeneralizing everything, discounting the positives, blaming, and believing we know what other people are thinking. Such types of thinking are negative perceptions of ourselves, others, and even God. And science is just confirming what God has been saying all along, that for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So if someone thinks that they can't do something, it's most likely that they won't be able to do it because of fear and second-guessing themselves. If someone is negative in their thinking all the time, and they see themselves as the victim, then when things don't go their way, they will just affirm why things didn't go their way, and it's because of this person or that situation. They will even complain that they don't have the same opportunities as others and that they're being slighted. And if something does go their way, they are still unappreciative and still ungrateful. But the opposite is also true. That if you think and believe that with Jesus, you can ultimately overcome, be transformed, and live the kind of life that he promised, then you will overcome. You will see transformation and walk in step with him with that kind of life. Because our lives do follow the direction of our greatest thoughts. So in order to understand how to start thinking the way that God thinks, throughout the series, we will be looking at the life of Paul, who was a follower of Jesus and who wrote a majority of the New Testament while he was in prison for planting churches and telling people about Jesus. And we learn very quickly that Paul was the ultimate thought warrior. Because even though he was in prison, we read from his letters that he was still joyful and filled with faith and hope, that even though his body was captive behind bars, the reality is that his mind was free. And Paul understood two truths about our thoughts that he learned from Jesus that we need to embrace. The first is that the battle for our life is won or lost in our mind. And the second is that our thoughts will control us, so we have to control our thoughts. See, Paul understood the battle that went on in his mind, but he didn't always think this way because at one point of his life, he said, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good." As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Paul acknowledges that there is a struggle and a real battle to want to do the right thing and to go God's way, and our sin nature pulling us the other way so we do the wrong things. This sin nature has even affected how we think. That is why there is a real tension and struggle where we keep messing up, stumbling in our morality, honesty, and integrity. Soon enough, we realize that there's this huge gap between where we are and where we want to be with God. But we learn from Scripture that Paul eventually mastered the tools that God had given him in this ongoing battle in his mind. Paul had learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. And if Paul can learn to do this, then that means that anyone who has a relationship with Jesus can learn to do this as well. Paul encourages us by saying, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Paul is warning us that there is a world system that is corrupted by sin. And so sin invades the popular kind of negative thinking that is prevalent in the culture. It is the kind of thinking that is ungodly and that rebels against what God would want. That is why if our life follows the direction of our thoughts, then when we think in ways that are absent of God, like the culture, we are conformed into an ungodly mold, and our life and our decisions are now dictated by that mold. Even science tells us this. The more often we think a thought, whether it is true or not, the more we will continue to think that way again and again. When we think a thought, we create what are known as neural pathways in our brain. And we have billions of them. And when we think about certain things, every time we think about it, science shows us that it strengthens and solidifies these pathways so that they become our default way of thinking. So the things we see in the culture, because we see it and think about it so often, we can mimic that same kind of thinking and behavior, and that now becomes our default. So for example, if you see that revenge is what everyone is doing, then when someone hurts us, our natural default of thinking is to hurt the person back with our words and our actions. If we grew up hearing that we were dumb and useless or worthless, as we think on this throughout our life, it creates a neural pathway that contributes to our default thinking that we are dumb and worthless and useless. And these neural pathways are like when you start walking again and again and again on a lawn that has fresh green grass. I remember in middle school, my friend and I would jump a fence and cut across some person's yard to get home quicker. And I can understand why the owner of the lawn would yell and cuss at us and chase us out. Because by us running home across his lawn day after day, it created a footpath that ended up turning the grass on the path brown and eventually killing it. Now he had a dead path of grass through his yard. And these neural paths are being created in our brain daily based on what we believe and think on. So paths are created based on truth, and paths are created even based on the lies that we believe. So in order to rewire these neural paths in our minds, it means that with God's help, we have to renew our minds, stay off the old paths, and let the new rewiring begin in our minds as we start forging new neural pathways in our brains based on God's truth, which ultimately sets us free. That is why the opposite of being conformed to the pattern of this world is by being transformed by the renewing of your mind through Jesus. So for every believer, this battleground is fought in the mind. Do I want to be conformed into the pattern of this world, meaning think and function the way that the culture and the world does? Or do I want to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus through the renewing of my mind? And this foundation of thinking is based on what God's word says, which is true. So it is by knowing God's word and having a depth of relationship with him that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, which means that we stop thinking in old ways, but are transformed to think like Christ thinks. And we must understand that not only are we fighting the sin that is in us, that makes us go the opposite way of God, the way that he wants, not only are we fighting the culture that's trying to conform us into its image that goes against what God wants, but we also have an enemy that wants to destroy us. Paul said, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Satan is a real enemy that hates God and wants to destroy everything that belongs to God, including us. The same enemy attacks us and creates strongholds of lies from these neural pathways that have stayed with us in our minds over the years that we believe. And when we believe such lies long enough, we live it out and it becomes a stronghold. So what are some lies that the devil tells us that we believe? You are never good enough. God isn't real and he doesn't care about you. You will always be where you are for the rest of your life. No one will ever love you. God can't heal you. You will always be fearful. You will always be stuck in that addiction. You failed before and you will fail again. There is no hope for you. You will never be forgiven for that. And you will always have to prove yourself in order to be accepted and loved. These lies have become strongholds that we live out and believe, causing us to view ourselves as less than and see the world around us with broken lenses. And so Paul talks about these lies as being like strongholds, like a fortress with thick walls that are absolutely impenetrable. Lyme is a disease that is very hard to treat because the spirochete bacteria that causes Lyme forms a biofilm that protects it. This is like a thick, impenetrable shield. So even though a person takes medicine to treat Lyme, the medicine bounces off the biofilm while the disease is protected. So you can take all the medicine you want, but that stronghold is still there. The only way to destroy the spirochete is to first break down the stronghold with a certain biofilm medicine. And once the stronghold is broken, Dendroregular treatment of medicine can now access the spirochete and destroy it. That is why knowing God's truth doesn't just penetrate such walls of lies or break them down. We need dynamite to break down the wall first so that we can get in and address the lies. So when Paul says that we demolish such strongholds, he is talking about God's power that is the only thing that can do that. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. See, we think that the greatest power on earth is a nuclear bomb or some natural disaster, like a earthquake or a tsunami or a hurricane. But the reality is that the greatest power ever unleashed on this earth was when God raised Jesus from the dead. This power is known in the Greek language as dunamis power, which is where we get the word dynamite from. And that power, this dunamis power, is available to anyone who has a relationship with Jesus because Christ now lives in us. That kind of dunamis power is the only thing that can destroy that stronghold, because once it is destroyed, God's word can now penetrate and destroy that lie that we believe, and it starts to bring healing. That power can heal and change our mind and transform our life. We're facing a spiritual war, and such strongholds are spiritual, which means that we do not rely on human strategy, power, or wisdom, but the transformation only comes from the dunamis power supplied by the Lord. Remember, the opposite of being conformed to the pattern of this world is being transformed by the renewing of your mind through Jesus. Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. The enemy creates such strongholds in our minds so that we end up believing what is not true and are not able to see or believe the truth that God gives to us. So we need to figure out, what are the strongholds in our minds? Because if we can name it, we can start to address it with God's dunamis power, with this dynamite power. Now I want to get it clear that this cannot be addressed by your own wisdom or your own power, because if you could, you would have addressed the lies long, long time ago. This is not the power of positive thinking or self-help. This has to be the work of God, and it can only be activated when we come to the end of ourselves and realize that we need God's help and that we cannot change ourselves. That is why an intimate relationship with God matters. It is asking him to show you the lies so that you can believe his truths. So in order to begin this process, we first want to do an inventory of our thoughts to see where we are at with our thinking. Here are three questions that cover three categories. First, are your daily thoughts usually characterized by worry, or are your thoughts peaceful? Let's begin with the worried side. When you wake up in the morning, is your mind filled with worried thoughts about your day and everything that you need to do? Are you frequently worried about your family, your spouse, your kids, your health, your money, your future? Does your mind frequently drift towards fear and rabbit trails of what-if scenarios that make you restless and irritable? Or do you find that even though you have a lot on your plate, even though you face unknowns, that you are able to lean in on God and give him your cares so that he can give you his peace? Do you find that you are more surrendered to God when situations are out of your control, as you realize that He will take care of you because you are His child and that He will be there with you? Are you calm and thoughtful with your words and responses in the midst of stressful situations? So rate your thoughts, characterized by worry or by peaceful thoughts. Then the second question, do your thoughts drift towards the negative or the positive? Do you have a negative outlook on life? Are you frequently unappreciative and impatient, complaining about something, being critical of people, and defaulting to being suspicious of them? Are you running around busy and overwhelmed, seeing that there is always so much to do and not enough time to do it? Are your thoughts toxic and self-deprecating? Or do you wake up with positive faith where even though things may not be going your way or things may be hard, you know that God will work for your good and will help you overcome. This is where you are grateful for what you have and even the opportunities that you have, knowing that everything's a gift from God. When you speak to others, your words are filled with encouragement and love. It is where you are inspired that whatever you are doing, you believe that you can make a difference in this world. So rate your thoughts, characterized by negativity or characterized by positivity. Then the third question, are your thoughts more towards things that are worldly and temporary, or are they about things that are eternal, which lasts forever? Are you frequently thinking about how much you have and how much more you want? Are you concerned with what you wear, how you look, who likes you, and what others think about you? Do you spend most of your time thinking about your comforts and your pleasures? Or do your thoughts drift towards things that are eternal? Do you think about how you are stewarding what you have and how you can use it to build God's kingdom? Do you think about your relationship with God and ways to spend time with Him so that you can be more like Him? Do you think about making disciples and investing in pointing people to the ways of God? So rate your thoughts, worldly or eternal? So based on this inventory, do you like where your thoughts are taking you? For many people, the answer will be no, because we all can agree that there is no way we can have a positive life that reflects God when we have a negative mind that reflects our sinfulness and qualities of the world. And so if our destructive thinking is linked to the lies that we are believing about ourselves, then in order to tackle this war in our mind, we need to first start by asking, what is the biggest mental stronghold that is holding you back? Remember, a stronghold is a lie that you have been believing that in reality is holding you back from God and what He wants to do in your life. Is it God doesn't care about or have time for me? That I'm unlovable and that I'm damaged goods? That I'm always going to be fearful? That I'll never be forgiven? That I will always be forever stuck? See, the lies that we believe that have become strongholds and neural pathways in our brain end up constraining us. Satan uses these strongholds to discourage us from realizing our God-given purpose. We've tried to overcome the stronghold, but the hurt and the trauma of it all still stays with us, so we don't dare try again. But this is an invitation for us to try again and to be set free by Jesus with the renewing of our minds with His truth and power. Paul says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The word captive means that the believer goes on the offensive to take captive any lies that has held them hostage. Because it is when we choose to purposefully partner with God so that our mind can be transformed, His truth becomes the medicine that replaces the lie that we have been believing. And it starts to heal our mind. Jesus Himself said, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The scripture is saying that the truth here is a person, which is Jesus, and he will be the one that sets you free. So what is the biggest mental stronghold that's holding you back? You know, one of the lies that I believed for most of my life is the lie that I'll never be good enough. I remember ever since I was young, nothing I did was ever good enough. Every day there was some sort of fault to be found in something that I did or something that I said. Even when I did something well, it always came with a critical comment of what I should have done to make it even better. And this lie became a stronghold that stuck with me all the way into my adulthood. As a result, I became a workaholic, striving only for perfection with everything I did, because that was my way of gaining love and approval from others and quieting the potential criticisms. And when you work hard and are good at working hard, you start to truly believe that your value only comes from your performance. And when you function like that, you are never secure or content. So when I did well, I felt loved, and when I didn't do well, I felt ashamed and hated. And as a result, I was killing myself, being overwhelmed all the time and hurting my own relationships in the process, because I was just as critical with the people around me, because what they did was now never good enough for me. But in recent years, I began to realize that this was all a lie that had become a stronghold. So through the help of my mentor with spiritual direction and a trusted community, I began the process of dealing and attacking this stronghold and the lies with it through the renewing of my mind. And it has been wonderful and freeing, though it is still a continuous process to undo that path that was created over the years. So for this week, as we all begin the journey to win the battle in our minds and to change our thinking so that our lives can change, I want to encourage you to carve out time this week where you can reflect with God honestly about where you fall with a thought inventory. Then, if you are bold enough and want to get even more honest answers, ask someone close to you that you trust to answer these questions about you, because a lot of times, our perceptions of ourselves are very different from the way others experience us. Then the second thing I want to encourage you to do this week is, from this thought inventory, to identify what is the biggest mental stronghold that is holding you back. Meaning, what is the lie that you are believing that is keeping you from God's best for you? For example, what is the stronghold that's keeping you fearful? What is the stronghold that you are believing that keeps you complaining and discontent? What is the stronghold that you are believing that makes you see yourself as less than? What is the stronghold that makes you worry? What is that stronghold? So go home and do these two things as you identify the lies and the strongholds in your life. Then I want to invite you to come back next week, where we will be answering the questions: how do we demolish these strongholds? What does it tangibly look like for us to begin the process of rewiring those neural pathways? How do we renew our mind with God? How do we win the war in our mind so that we can be transformed? And the good news is that God has given us everything that we need to live the kind of life that He intended for us to live. But it takes practice and a lot of hard work. It takes spending daily time with God. That way, we can know what He says and apply what He says to our lives. Remember, the opposite of being conformed to the pattern of this world is being transformed by the renewing of your mind through Jesus. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we want to be transformed into the likeness of your Son. So we declare your dunamis power over our lives and over our minds, as it destroys any sort of strongholds of lies so that your word can penetrate and that your word can heal us. God, we seek your guidance and empowerment to move away from worried thinking to peaceful thinking. Negative thoughts to positive ones. Going from worldly thoughts to now eternal thoughts. God, have your way in, through, and around us. We need you and we thank you. And as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you've realized that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins and to transform you, to be the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitychurch.org to let us know of your decision, and we would love to get to know you better and give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.